Ron Ron's here from sportsoverload.com, and he came bearing gifts. I want to thank you for the... I want to just go ahead and put everybody on notice. Randy Rainwater and Mike Kennedy, the program director at our sister station. Don't even think about touching my Green Bay Packers calendar. Thank you. You've been served notice. Don't be that guy. This segment's brought to you in part by whom, Pat? The Boston Red Sox?
Yeah, look at that.
It's a great-looking calendar for a marginal-looking team.
I was trying to find a Patriots one, but they had Red Sox. So I was like, that's close enough. He'll like that. It'll work. It'll get the job done.
Lately.
But
I'm a Christmas genius.
There ain't no doubt.
Christmas genius. I like
Christmas
it.
Christmas genius.
What do you,
if it happened to
really
Santa,
sure that,
I know about it.
Oh, okay.
What are you doing over the holidays, aside from like not being in school and stuff?
Enjoying being done with school forever.
Woo!
It is fantastic.
Well,
forever, huh?
It's nice.
Did you walk yet?
I haven't. I walk in May.
Will you do a cartwheel for me?
I can't.
Are you going to wear anything under your robe?
I hadn't decided yet. I hadn't been bad enough. You know, I hadn't been dared.
I dare you.
All right, there we go. Well, I've been dared.
I'll triple dog dare you.
Uh-oh. No, I got to do it.
I just skipped right over the double dog. I went right to the triple.
Well, I guess I got to do it now.
It's a breach of etiquette, but I still did it. Okay, are you ready to do what we got to do?
Let's do it.
All right. It's our. Is this our last one, or is there one more week? How long does the playoffs go? Another week or two?
Yeah, some fantasy playoffs end in week 16 and some are in week 17. Some like to end it early because 17, a lot of teams take off and rest players. So some would like to end their season a week earlier.
That doesn't seem fair. There's a guy named the Abominable Hillbilly on line 3. I'm excited about that. All right. Don't worry, be happy about whom in the NFL if you're a fantasy player.
Well, Aaron Rodgers has to. You have to start with him. He's the number one overall fantasy player.
That's right.
Oh, come on.
Excuse me, that's
serious?
Right. Where do you come up with this information?
He is. He's the number one overall fantasy player. He had over 400 total yards and 4 touchdowns against the Steelers. Don't worry, be happy with Rodgers. He's the best player in all of fantasy football.
Oh, well, Pat.
That's an abominable hillbilly.
Well, the only thing abominable was the defense. It gave up over 500 yards passing to Benny Roethlisberger.
Terrible. That is true. And a guy that seems to emerge from nowhere but has become a big-time stud is Jamaal Charles, running back for the Chiefs. He had 150 yards and a touchdown against the Browns, and he scored a touchdown in 4 straight games. So he's gone from being a guy you should maybe pick up to a guy that you have to start every week. So Jamaal Charles is definitely a guy that's hot and here to stay. Another guy is Phillip Rivers, Chargers. He's averaging over 300 yards passing per game in his last 4 games, 308 yards and 3 touchdowns versus the Bengals. Phillip Rivers, he's kind of a guy that doesn't get talked about when you talk about the best quarterbacks in the NFL. You know, you always seem to talk about Manning, Brady, Drew Brees, but Phillip Rivers should be right there in that mix. In my opinion.
All right.
Okay, what else?
Who are we going to pick up? We're going to next.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, you got to change the music. We got to keep this going.
There we go. Don't forget about whom.
There we go. Some guys to pick up are Jerome Harrison of the Browns, 286 yards, 3 touchdowns versus the Chiefs. And he's got a great matchup coming up this next week against the Raiders. So Jerome Harrison's a guy you got to go pick up. And a guy that plays on a terrible team, but it doesn't matter, Maurice Morris of the Detroit Lions. He's filling in for the injured running back, Kevin Smith. He had 126 yards and a touchdown last week, so he's a guy you can go out and pick up if you're desperate at running back. And this isn't going to make Razorback fans happy, but pick up Michael Bush of the Raiders. He had 133 yards and a touchdown versus the Broncos last week. He's starting to get the bulk of the workload, and they're going up against the Browns. That's a great fantasy matchup. Sorry, I know McFadden's not doing a whole lot, and we're not happy about it, but Michael Bush got the bulk of the workload. And he looks like he's going to get the bulk of the carries next week.
There's a lot of really bad teams with 5 wins in this league. I love the NFL.
It's a weird season.
It is.
Normally, the really bad teams are not this bad. It's definitely a different season.
They're bad, but they're still getting wins here and there. I mean, the 5 wins is not bad. I mean, it's not like you're having a bunch of teams that have 1 or 2 wins.
Right. Well, it's getting better. They're at the beginning of the season, it seems like every week, every game, the majority of the games were 17, 20-point blowouts, and Vegas was going broke because every favorite covered every big spread. But it's starting to balance out the last few weeks.
You ready to move on?
I am.
Okay, who do I need to permanently walk?
Well, some guys you definitely need to sit this week. Matt Forte of the Bears. They're going up against the Vikings. Tough run D. He's not going to do anything. Yeah, the Bears have been just disappointing all around. Cutler's been absolutely terrible. The defense has been terrible. Forte's been terrible. They really have nothing positive in any way, really. Maybe Greg Olsen. I guess their tight end's been solid. That's about it. Sitting O'Shawn Marino at the Eagles. And I would sit all Colts because they may start resting players and getting ready for the playoffs. So any Colts players, Manning's been fantastic all season, but if he's not going to play, it doesn't do you much good.
Good point.
So you think they're going to sit him? They're not going to go for the undefeated season.
It looks like it. Jim Caldwell doesn't seem to care if they go undefeated or not.
Well, Jim Caldwell needs to recognize there's a little something called history. They got to go for it.
And I don't know why the Colts always do this, but they always start resting players early, and then they lose in their first playoff game because they've been off for a month. They seem to be their routine.
Greatest example of playing all your guys was the New York Giants a couple of years ago.
Because that was the debate, whether they should play their guys or not, and then they did, and they made a Super Bowl run. So I would definitely
go with that route. Even though they lost in their last regular season game.
To the Patriots, who also were playing all their guys.
Right.
So that was a...
Another situation that I heard you guys talking a little bit earlier about Brett Favre and Brad Childress. That seems like something they should have talked about before the second quarter of how much they're going to rest guys or not rest guys. That doesn't seem like something you should be trying to hash out in the second quarter.
I think his point was he didn't expect Brett to be abused as badly as he was, and his concern was for the quarterback for the long term, which makes sense as a head coach. Brett's point was it's a 7-6 ball game, bro. I can't go out now.
Right.
How stupid is that going to look?
Right. I'm just saying at that point when you've already pretty much got the division locked up, that's something you probably should have, you know, thought out possible scenarios or talked about or met about and kind of planned a little bit more in advance than just all of a sudden in the second quarter trying to figure it out.
Did you have the dude from the Browns that went crazy? Did you start him this weekend?
I did not. Jerome Harrison?
Yeah.
Did not.
How about that?
It was incredible. You never know. I think him and Joshua Cribbs combined for 617 total all-purpose yards between the two of them.
That just shows you how bad they are, though, that the guy had a record day. They had a guy return two kicks 100 yards plus, and they still barely won.
It is the Chiefs. I mean, it's Chiefs and Browns. They're both terrible. It's just kind
that's
of
what I'm saying, but that just shows you how bad the Browns are. They barely won that game anyway.
It was like a video game, 41-34.
Yeah.
The Browns hadn't hardly scored that many points all season, and all of a sudden they break out for 40 points. So
it's a video game, provided I'm not playing, because I don't think I could score 41 points in a season. Madden has gotten harder and harder to me. The college game never really got any harder on
Slate. Right. College, yeah, you can chunk it deep every time still. Like it's.
And I ran a lot of the option.
But Madden, you got to, like, pay attention to your run-pass ratio.
Oh,
and,
dude,
like,
it's amazing.
Call audibles and, you know, show a fake blitz when you're not really blitzing and get all these crazy stuff going.
I haven't played Madden so long.
I haven't either.
Very complicated.
I remember when Madden came out on Sega Genesis, it was the most revolutionary thing I'd ever seen. I was like, oh, my gosh.
Well, it's part of why now, like, between that and fantasy football, fans feel like they actually, like, know what's going on. They feel like they should have an opinion whether they actually do know what they're talking about or not. They play
fantasy. Well, the way they set up the games now, you're actually the GM, the coach.
Yeah. Right.
You're in charge of drafting people.
Right. It's got the whole draft process, free agency, salary cap, all that stuff.
The college part of it was the thing I liked best about that was the recruiting thing. Yeah. Where you try to make your team better. Because I didn't actually have to travel around and talk to all these snot-nosed punks.
You didn't create yourself.
Yeah, you just press offer scholarship.
No. You can create yourself. In the recent ones.
I created myself, but then I decided I didn't want to recruit me.
The Zone is where three of the greatest minds in radio meet up to express their opinions. Justin Avery, Pat Bradley, and Freaky Joe Franklin bringing knowledge into your lives and always at an affordable price. On The Buzz, we are back in the Fury Electric studio. Fury Electric, for your next project, call them for a free estimate, 327-7744.
I don't like Utah. In fact, I hate them. I hate everything about them. I hate their program. I hate their fans. I hate everything. So it felt really good to send those guys home. They didn't deserve it. It was our time, and it was our time to win. We deserved it. We played as hard as we could tonight, and it felt really good, again, to send them home, to get them out of here. So, game we'll always remember. I think the whole university and their fans and the organization is classless. I think, you know, they threw beer on my family and stuff last year and did a whole bunch of nasty things, and I don't respect them, and, they deserve to lose.
A BYU quarterback with an edge. That's Max Hall talking about the arch rival Utah after knocking off the Utes this year. What's a Ute? And they play tonight against Oregon State in the Mako Las Vegas Bowl. I've sort of made it a policy, personal policy, until these companies start throwing me some money, not to really use their names, and I still like to call the Capital One Bowl the Citrus Bowl. But anyway, I digress. So, Ron, Sports Overload, what's the official pick? This is a tough one, right?
It's one of the harder games to pick. If you did one of those things where you rank them 1-34, this one's probably one you rank down in the 30s on one of the ones you got a little, shouldn't have a real strong play on it. But this one is in the Las Vegas, and that's kind of BYU's home away from home. They play in the Las Vegas Bowl a lot. And for Oregon State, I'm curious how motivated they're going to be to play in this game because they lost their rival Oregon the last game of the season, missed out on a Rose Bowl shot. Now they're going to a second-tier bowl, and I'm not sure how motivated they're going to be. But on the other side, BYU struggles with speed. That's always been their Achilles heel. They lost to Florida State, who's not really that good of a team, but because of the overall team speed, that was a tough matchup for BYU because they were able to beat Oklahoma, but then you lose to Florida State. So they really struggle with speed, and the Rodgers brothers for Oregon State are pretty good. But I'm going to lean BYU. Max Hall is the difference. Senior quarterback goes out on top.
That's what I say.
the Fury Electric Studios, you're in the zone with Justin Akre, Pat Bradley, and Joe Franklin.
Welcome back. It is December 22nd. It's 11:06. It's hour number two. People really want to beat up on Pat. And I don't know how much easier I can make these questions to help somebody win, but we're going to get a winner. We're going to give these tickets away to the Arkansas-Baylor game and these Spirit Fingers to some lucky sucker before it's all said and done. Jim Harris is here from Arkansas Sports 360, and Ron's in from sportsoverload.com. You guys have met before, right?
Not in person.
We've talked before on the air.
Over the internet.
We've talked on the radio.
Jim, who you got in the
bowl? I know his website.
Yes. Who you got in the bowl game tonight?
Who's playing?
BYU and Oregon State.
These games, if it's not January 1st, it ain't a bowl. Or later, you know, January 1st or later, it's not a bowl game to me.
Tonight's game will be more compelling than every BCS game except the title game, I think. I think it's going to be really good. I think it's going to be a good matchup.
It should be a high-scoring game as well. It should be entertaining.
I think Oregon State.
Yeah. I think you can make a case both ways. I picked BYU, but not
I wouldn't argue
reason.
Either way with you if you had a – I wouldn't argue either way. It's a tough one.
It's going to be who has the ball last. Or
that's exactly right. Kind of like the Arkansas-Missouri State game tonight that we'll get into in just a minute maybe. How about Arkansas
That's who has the ball first, right? Well,
a home dog.
Missouri State's 10-0, though.
I know, and I'm not saying I don't agree. It's just like,
I would guess they're a home dog the rest of the way. I mean, there's certainly going to be a home dog against UAB, who's beaten East Tennessee State and somebody else that Arkansas struggled with.
Arkansas is a dog to a team because they beat East Tennessee State. That just shows you where Arkansas is.
Then Baylor will be favored here, I would guess. And
Texas will be favored.
Texas will be a 20-something point favored.
Really? 20 in favor, you think?
Yeah, sure.
Hey, they're good.
And they'll beat them by 20.
Yeah, they should. Unless Fortson's back, then they'll only beat them by 19, I think.
Yeah, let's see. These teams are a combined 39-2. These next four teams, that's...
Wow. Did you watch...
That's my column on the website today.
I saw it. Did you watch Texas and North Carolina this weekend?
I did.
Dear Lord.
I did. I kind of wanted to go to that game just to experience basketball there after going and seeing the football game.
How many did they have
there?
Did they say? Did they announce?
It looked like there was 40,000.
Yeah.
I mean, they had the Alltel or Verizon Arena, black curtain around the top. Mm-hmm. So they didn't put anybody up there.
It was neat. I mean, that was...
It was neat. And they put the stadium in the middle of the field. So they did that same kind of setup they're using now and, you know, what they did in Detroit for the NCAA final and several other stops. I guess that's the way they're going to go now. They're going to, you know, cram as many as they can. I guess for the NCAA final, Justin, in 2014, they'll let everybody go in there. They'll have 80,000.
Well, with that screen, you can... fit as many as you want in there. I mean, it's just
the
basically watching. It's like watching it at a sports bar if you're going to go to the game.
The screen is twice as big as the floor under it.
Yeah. It's like watching in a sports bar, except the beers are $8.50.
Yeah. The hot dogs are... No, wait a minute. Hot dogs are $8.50.
Yeah. The beers are $16.50.
Yeah. How about this peanut brittle?
How about not?
How about I chomp it right in the microphone?
Come on, Tommy. We don't do that after 10. All right, Razorbacks at home tonight against the Missouri State team. State team that has owned the state of Arkansas.
Not only that,
Last couple of seasons. Yes?
They've owned a lot of other teams. They won at Auburn this year.
Uh-huh.
No, I'm sorry. No. It's not at Auburn.
I was willing to go with that because I have no idea.
I think it was at home.
Yeah, it was at home. How did they get Auburn to come go to their home? I don't know.
Like this. They said, hey, you want to come over here?
Uh-huh. I wouldn't do it.
Okay. I think they did a home and home. Missouri State played at Auburn last year.
Missouri State's got to be getting as many people at their games as Auburn is. And probably more than Arkansas is.
I think they're getting more than 6,000.
Well, the Missouri Valley Conference is a better basketball conference than a lot of people give it credit for.
That's true.
I thought you were going to say it was better than the SEC.
No.
And it may be.
It might be better than the Pac-10.
Well, it's not better than Kentucky, but if you take Kentucky out of the mix this year, it may be better than the SEC.
No, Jim, come on.
Have you looked at the SEC lately, how horrible it is?
It is an embarrassing loss every day for somebody in the SEC.
LSU.
Georgia just beat Illinois.
Yeah, LSU.
How embarrassing is that?
LSU beat Nicholls State, barely. Arkansas.
So you guys look at the Georgia beat Illinois. Who's that embarrassing for?
Focus positive, Pat. That's a way. Big Arkansas 6-5. Missouri State's 10-0. Probably. Tonight at Bud Walton, Missouri State comes in as a 1-point favorite.
That's not bad. It could have been worse.
I like playing from the underdog role.
Yesterday, they had an event promoting the ball game on the 30th against Baylor at Verizon Arena. Blake Edens spoke to our Trey Schaap about the issues with the Razorbacks.
What's the problem with the Hog basketball team?
I really don't know. It's a frustrating situation and I'm not making excuses. You have injuries, you have suspensions. It's been a perfect storm for the coaching staff. But at the same time, losing two or three players, you shouldn't have that three-game losing streak to that caliber team. So who knows? I think that, you know, there's some stuff going on. Some guys need to get healthy and act right and get back on the court.
Can this team bounce back? Can it win games in the SEC? I think that's what most people are concerned about is conference season. Last year they had a great non-conference. They get to conference and they lay an egg.
I really don't know. I mean, we saw a lot of the core group of this team last year. I think 12-1 going into SEC and then go 2-14, 2-15 in SEC play. So, you know, they're capable, but at the same time, you know, the last 20 or 30 games, the product's a little different. But if you get Courtney Fortson back and you get some guys healthy, you get a chance to at least see and them to at least prove themselves, and you want to at least give them that chance.
You've seen Rodney Clark several times being the color analyst on TV. You're going to do it on radio the day of the Liberty Bowl when Arkansas takes on UAB. Can Rodney Clark break Pat Bradley's three-point record?
Yes, I think he can. And the amazing thing is he does not have a point guard who is begging him to shoot every time down the court. He has guards who want to shoot the ball. So the fact that he doesn't have someone setting him up and Derek could rebound and turn out and kicking it out like it's practice, it's really an even bigger deal than people realize.
And Pat Bradley, your response to that question?
Who's your favorite number two? It's going to be me.
I figured you'd say something else, but that was nice of you. Very diplomatic, Pat.
Well, you know, really the reality of it is that just different teams. Is he going to win? I believe I won our bet last year.
You mean with me?
With you and Justin.
On how many he'd hit?
I think it was 85.
Yeah.
I think it was an over-under, right?
Yeah, it was. I took the under. You guys took the over.
Hey, Jim.
Yeah.
What record is more likely to go down? The three-point record at Arkansas or the passing record at Arkansas? And have your thoughts on Ryan Mallett changed at all since last week?
I think they change every day, just about like what Mallett's thoughts probably do every day. I think Friday last week he was probably thinking, I'm out of here. Saturday he's back out on the field and, you know, quarterbacking him in a private scrimmage and supposedly looking good. But don't even dare ask Petrino to answer anything, you know, maybe controversial, like did he ask Mallett to go hit the showers on Friday for not really giving it his all?
What's the buzz around campus? What are you hearing?
Well, it's something that all my friends ask me, well, is Mallett leaving? Is Mallett leaving? And they ask me. You know, I look at it and I just think that when he gets into workouts, if he does want to go pro and test the waters, I just think that he'll blow these other guys out of the water. He doesn't have the experience, but I just think he'll blow these other guys out of the water with being 6'7", 240, and that kind of arm strength, especially guys like Jimmy Clausen, who looks good in Notre Dame system, but I don't think he has the arm strength and type thing where he's right now Mel Kiper's top quarterback in the draft, and I think Mal could be a better guy.
I don't disagree. I mean, physically, he's got a lot of things the other guys will never have, and Jimmy may be more familiar, maybe either one of you guys. I don't know. I can't remember exactly how the process works, but How good a look can they get at you one-on-one without actually declaring for the draft? I mean,
I'm not sure what the it's called, what the actual committee is called, but you send in, you know, for an evaluation, and they'll send back, well, we think you're going to go in the first round, second round, third round, eighth, whatever, seventh round, whatever it is. And if you like what you hear and you decide you want to go, you leave. And then you go from there and you'll have your pro day and combine and all individual workouts and all that from there.
Because I think his draft status will not be that great until they actually see him in person and watch him work out.
Right.
And that's what Sterner's been talking about the last couple of weeks. And really, you're sort of hamstrung because you can't really go through that process until you sort of say, hey, I'm coming.
Right, because NFL scouting departments at this point are focusing more on the seniors, you know, at this point. And then, as you know, as if he declares, they'll focus on the underclassmen. But most of their scouting department time is spent on seniors.
And some team out there who maybe is looking at Mallett in a different way than as fans are, who are saying, hey, you know, against, you know, Alabama or Ole Miss or Florida, he didn't, you know, look that good, and he's going to see those kind of defenses every day. Well, he's also going to have an offensive line in front of him that's going to be quite different, quite better on that same scale than what he's got at Arkansas. I think they did wonders with what they've got up front offensively to protect him. With a, you know, professional team, I think it's a whole different world for him and probably gives him more protection. Sure, there's going to be that NFL speed and all that coming down on him every play too. On the other hand, though, you know, all these guys who've been in the business for a long time still remember Jeff George, the probably the most comparable kind of player at this time, who had the, you know, the big league arm, but, you know, really wasn't much of a leader at quarterback. And same thing with Ryan Leaf, who was a first pick.
But George, he was an extremely successful quarterback by comparison to a Ryan Leaf.
Certainly he was. And he probably was worth, you know, a substantial amount of money. Was he worth what he was paid when he came out? Did he produce in that same way? Or was he more of a, you know, kind of a middle-of-the-road professional quarterback who, you know, didn't really achieve what a Marino or a, you know, quarterback like that would.
George had a great mullet at one point in his career, too. Let's hear from Bobby Petrino, who probably didn't want to talk about it, but did anyway. Thanks to Chris Mond for running this down from Arkansas Sports 360. Talked about Ryan being late to a meeting, or maybe he wasn't. And also about the other quarterbacks and their reps leading up to the bowl game.
Expect every player on our team to be on time. When we have meetings, we're there on meetings, and that's how we operate. That's how we operate. Paul Ryan is doing good. You know, he obviously we expect every person on the team to be on time and come to practice, have a great attitude, and work hard. And you know, Ryan came out Saturday, had a great practice. Was really accurate with his passes. I think this preparation has been very good for Tyler because he has got a lot of reps with the ones and the twos. Brandon's got reps with the twos at times and a lot of reps with the threes. And, you know, the other day we were able to throw Brandon in there with the twos in the middle of a scrimmage, and he did a pretty good job. He moved the club down the field. So, and we've done that with a number of players. So that's what we talked about when we said we needed to be in a bowl game to get better as a football team and to be able to, you know, mix guys in with the ones, mix guys in with the twos, and get that on video and see how they react to it has been good for our football team.
Okay. Wow. Bobby Petrino will talk procedure, but he will not talk specifics.
Put him on the stand.
I like it, though. I like it.
Put
I like that approach.
Him on the stand. Can you imagine?
What, now, let me ask you a question. How do you make sense of him really not divulging why that issue happened with Mallett, as opposed to maybe some other coaches not wanting to get into what their players have done?
Well,
there are some coaches that get criticized.
We're not talking about other coaches.
Well, answer my question.
We're talking about Bobby. Oh, you want me to answer your question?
Well, because you're
Petrino wouldn't answer that question.
You're notorious for criticizing people, especially when they don't give you enough information that you want.
Oh. Okay.
So what I'm asking is, oh, critical one, what is the difference between one coach not giving the information of why a player may have been kicked out of practice?
But he didn't even say that. But we don't even get that because
okay,
they don't allow the media at practice. So you have everybody outside or involved with the team then going around going, hey, man, Mallett got sent to the showers the other day. And then you try to ask the question, and it's not answered. And, no, he's not on trial. He doesn't have to answer it. He's the coach. He closes practice to the media.
So is that the same for all coaches? You have no problem with all coaches not addressing issues with their players being suspended or kicked out of practice?
No, I would like him to have said what he did do. I do have a problem with not saying what happened that involved Mallett on Friday and what was the difference between Saturday when he showed up and had this great day that Petrino goes on and on and on about? And what is going on with them? Did they have a little spat over the NFL?
I don't know. You need to demand some answers, Jim. Leading?
He doesn't allow you to demand any answers, Pat, because you can't handle the truth.
Oh, I can handle the truth. Pretty simple. But I'm just curious because we've seen other coaches, even Coach Pelfrey, everyone's really getting this case about not giving a lot of information about Fortson and all those guys, where that's what coaches do. So I'm saying, why we criticize one guy and not
the other? In Pelfrey's defense on Fortson, there may be something going on with Fortson that Pelfrey, because of privacy laws, health privacy laws, or educational privacy laws that they tend to hide behind, he can't say. If he did say them, he could be sued or fired.
Well, can he say that?
What? I can't say it because if I did, I'd get, no.
Well, that'd be kind of a hint.
It's better just to say...
Jim just told me I can't handle the truth. That's the truth.
You can't handle the
truth. Well, I'm saying you can't. You know, I just, it's just from here.
No, I'm
seeing things from the outside, how certain people act, certain coaches will make certain decisions and say certain things, and it's fine. But then when other coaches try to follow that same rule of thumb, it's not fine. And I'm looking at it from the outside. I don't have any dog in the fight. I don't have anything personal against any of these guys. I take them for what they are and what they say. If Coach Petrino doesn't want to say, that's fine. I agree with them. But if Coach Pelfrey or former coaches that were here didn't want to divulge all the information of what how they handled things, I think that should be left well alone as well. I'm just saying everyone should be treated the same.
Why don't you just say what you're saying?
Everybody should be treated the same.
You clearly have something specific that's been eating at you.
In a timely fashion.
Everybody should be treated the same. Just there are some coaches who can act a certain way and they're praised for it, and other coaches who act
the
same way and aren't.
The media's afraid of Bobby Petrino. They're not afraid of John Pelfrey.
Yeah, he got that last word in on Bob Holt of the Democrat Gazette, as you hear, and that was the end of that.
Expect every player on our team to be on time. When we have meetings, we're there on meetings, and that's how we operate. That's how we operate.
That's a guy I don't want to argue with. I'm scared of him. I'm scared of this guy, too. I wouldn't want to argue with him either.
I hit him, and he caught it, man. There is no way you got him out.
I had to go in.
You missed it.
Okay, Dave.
You missed it. You missed it, Dave. Just tell me you missed it.
I'm not going to go there with you, Dave.
Why not?
I'm not messing with Dave Van Horn either.
I love how he does it.
I don't have any problem with Coach Pelfrey, so I'm not going to argue with him either, but I wouldn't be as afraid as those
All right, take
guys.
Fear out of it.
I'm afraid of most people, though. So I'm afraid of Tom Cullen also for that
take
matter.
Take fear
so.
Out of it.
Yeah.
Certain guys. Either going to give you an answer or not.
You feared Susie Gardner, though.
Well, and Susie Effman.
Susie Effman.
Half the man she used to be. The thing about it is, I just think certain guys command that sort of, don't cross that line with me. And I think Pelfrey's been pretty welcoming and warm. And I think the people kind of pushed their luck with that.
I don't think people questioned Bear Bryant. Did they?
No.
Yeah, but does that mean that just because a guy is more warm and either way isn't right, either way isn't wrong, that he has to be criticized when he doesn't give you the answer you want?
No, but I think in Pelfrey's case, his track record's out there now. He's not going to be the kind of coach that kind of barks back at the media.
Yeah.
He may get perturbed, and you may notice it during the questioning, and his face may get a lot redder than Bobby Petrino's does. But he's been a little more accommodating. I think that's why people like Pelfrey. I think that's why it's hard for people to sit here and watch them kind of suffer and be middle of the pack kind of basketball right now, struggling to beat Stephen F. Austin and not just scream and holler and go, man, this is pathetic.
But there are people saying that.
Really,
I think Pelfrey would be crazy to come out and be controversial and, you know, say, you know, be, you know.
But he could, though. That's the whole point.
Right, but that would just bring up, more heat on him if he came out.
But I don't think a single writer has written this has got to end now. Let's get it out of here.
No,
this is an era.
It's just even as recently as today. I mean, Wally's bringing up
He can't.
Should he be fired? Well, no, he's not going to be, and probably not at the end of the season either. Well, it shouldn't even be a discussion yet. I mean, it shouldn't even be a legitimate discussion
to me. I know,
me.
But the real extreme folks that are getting on talk radio and regularly post on message boards, those are the ones that are stirring it up on a on a heavy basis. You get a lot of calls still with people going, I can't believe this. I hear it on Randy's
show.
Yeah,
it happens occasionally, but I mean, you know, the majority of people, I think, understand that it's not been a fair assessment period yet. Now, if
but those
gets,
aren't the people who call in to you.
That's true. Well, I mean, the people that call in general aren't necessarily the most reasonable folks, and it's people that are passionate about certain things, whether it's misguided or not. And we welcome that.
But do you think things will be better? Do you think things are looking like they'll be better next year? I mean, how long do you – yes, I guess my question
– No. I think, to me, from an evaluation standpoint, he gets this year, he gets next year, and then you evaluate. And then you look at it and say, hey, if it's not good enough, then you have
and
to maybe make a change.
I think things are better next year because two people I've spoken with think that the two guards they're bringing in are outstanding.
Well, you got
players.
Jeff Peterson, too. The
and he's eligible. Yeah. Of course, they're going to be
like the class
short. And they don't have a replacement for Michael Washington yet, and they still don't have a real true postman.
We can keep him off the cover of the magazines. I mean, Sam. Ed?
Yeah.
How are you?
I'm good. Going back to kind of your previous conversation, when you're talking about going in, Mallett going in the draft, here's my question. The higher he goes in the draft, the worse team he's going to be with.
Right.
And you all were talking about the great offensive line he's going to have, but that doesn't necessarily mean if he gets on a 10 or 11 draft pick, he could be sitting there with a team that's that failed last year and going to fail this year, and he's going to be a rookie quarterback putting up with a lot of heat and pressure.
Yeah, but that's offset with more money. That's the difference.
That is true.
The higher you get drafted, I mean, if he gets drafted by the Raiders, which he's not, but if he did, they're going to pay him $40 million.
Look at the Darren McFadden example. If Darren McFadden was running for, he was a third-string running back for the Minnesota Vikings this year, he'd be making less money, but he'd be having a lot more fun, I guarantee you.
Same with that example. If the Vikings, if they had gone out, if McFadden had gone out a year earlier and the Vikings had drafted him and then the Raiders had drafted Adrian Peterson, and they could just switch teams. McFadden would be having a great career if he played for the Vikings. You just switch him and Adrian Peterson right now.
Probably true.
That's what my point is. And
we've talked about that. Yeah, Ed, you make a valid point for sure.
Thanks, guys.
Hey, thank you. I mean, you're absolutely right. I mean,
yeah, if he's picked by the Vikings, say the Vikings say, man, those backup quarterbacks we've got, including Tavares Jackson, aren't the guys we want to succeed Brett Favre, but we want Mallett to step in. You get picked by the Vikings, you're not going to make as much money, but you're going to have a pretty dang good offensive line blocking for you.
There's no doubt.
Maybe he'll slip to
New England. Also say Mallett is a guy that they're looking more at the upside. He probably won't be one of those that starts as a rookie because he's only a redshirt sophomore. He's a guy that you're looking at the upside in terms of drafting him because
he's 20.
He's an intriguing pick. I mean,
because 3 years from now he could be fantastic.
The things we're saying about him is what we said about Matt Jones though as a receiver. It's intriguing. Because he has a lot of upside and you can see him doing very well at that level, doing a lot of neat things, a lot of interesting things, a lot of things that make things difficult for defenses. But that didn't necessarily.
Well, I think Mallett.
But he wasn't a bust either. I mean, obviously, if he never goes back in the league, you'd say he was for a first-round draft choice. But I would also say that his last performance when he was actually on the field was pretty good. You get any insight on that deal? On the Matt Jones deal?
I'm confused. I'm not sure if it's just he wants too much money. You know, if he's not, because Matt Jones, in my opinion, should have just gone somewhere, signed for the minimum, got on a roster, and then tried to make something out of his career.
I can't believe he's keeping himself out of the league because of money. You got to think he'd take whatever dollar amount it would be available.
I think he's getting submarined on his reputation.
Del Rio?
I heard good things that he was working out good, even, you know, paying for it all himself this summer, in this offseason working out. I heard good things. And so I'm kind of surprised he didn't get a shot somewhere.
I don't know.
But when you're on that line, it's not, we all know this, it's not very much that separates a lot of those players. And what could push you over the edge, you'd be surprised.
Right.
Whether it's, you know, whether it could be maybe some money or whether it could be, You just like a guy better. Like, there was one guy that we were talking about shouldn't be in the league instead of Matt Jones. But anyway, are we done?